No, we can get going. All right. Well, I think maybe it's fitting that we don't do the opening, the normal opening. Kind of a sad day. But good morning, everybody. We're here at it again. Welcome in. Thank you for spending your time with us. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit different feel today. But welcome to Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, number 262, where we try to talk about Bitcoin. And I think we'll do some of that today. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning. We have Eric as our producer, having a little technical difficulties today, but that is okay. And looks like we also have Wade and Neil, BFP, Pubby, and hopefully we'll hear from you as well. See some of our constant listeners, and we thank you for that. If it's your first time, this will feel a little bit different again, but that's okay. We lost one of our own, and so we'll talk about that a little bit. Other things going on, but to say a lot has happened in the last 24 hours is an understatement. We'll get into all of it and try to keep it positive. But sometimes I do wonder, man, when I see the news and things going on, I wonder if we are living in a simulation sometimes. But let's take a look at the time chain, because we do that every morning. Today is Thursday, September 11th, another crazy day, 2025. And let's take a look what stats we have. We are Bitcoin block height number 914,239, with the Bitcoin price right at, keeps moving, 114,375 on my screen, which means you can still pick up 875 sats for each US dollar. All right, a couple of announcements. Would love to have you up. I know it's a somber day for some of us. Some people are angry. We'll get into all of that. But would love to have you up. Again, we want to keep it positive. If you guys want to come up, please do hit that microphone button in the bottom left. Would love to have you. Always encourage new voices. If you can't speak, but have a comment or a question for the panel, please do use that comment box, that purple pill in the bottom right. Just hit that, and then you can type in there, and we'll see it, hopefully. All right, one more announcement, and then we will go around the horn and see how everybody is doing this morning. Bitcoin Veterans is having our second annual, hopefully, summit, and that's happening on November 10th and 11th in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Day one will be a conference, and day two will be a day at the range. We're still looking for people to get involved. So if you want to volunteer or you have a speaker topic, panel topic, please do visit bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. And you can also get your tickets there as well. So we'd love to have you. Should be a great time. I think good time of learning, but also hanging out with all of the Bitcoin veterans. So please check that out, bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. All right, guys, not going to be an easy one, but that's okay. We're here for it. And want to go around and just say good morning to everybody. Wade, how's it going this morning, sir?
Well, now that the political assassinations are back in vogue, I just hope, I know I did, but I hope everybody else gave their wife and their kids a hug and a kiss before they left for work this morning. And just wish the FBI all the best as they try and bring this guy in.
Yeah, thanks for that. Wanted to also say good morning to Eric. I think he's just going to give us some hand signals this morning. And then Neil, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, Bob. You know, it's, saddened a bit, but not shocked. It's a bit like, I don't know, when you just put a marshmallow and you hold it in the fire and it lights up, it's like, you're kind of not surprised. So, it's kind of where I think.
Yeah, the temperature is definitely, in some cases, very hot. So again, try to keep it positive here and keep calm. I see a lot of craziness all over the place. So we'll try to keep it chill and keep it real. BFP, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. It's a beautiful day for a great day. And, but it is somber. It weighs on out everyone's conscience. There's no way to avoid the thought of it. When your 13-year-old daughter breaks the news to the family, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, crazy times for sure. Pubby, good morning, sir. How are things?
Oh, good, man. And yeah, to what he said, what's interesting is, my daughter didn't get caught up mostly in the, this mainstream type stuff. I already knew about it, but I was surprised, when she brought it up too. Hey, Dad, did you see this? And I was surprised she even knew Charlie Kirk, but that was sort of the reach he had to this younger generation. And it's funny how this all ties together with Bitcoin and this search for truth. And I'm thinking, you know, 24 years ago, just standing in front of the television trying to sort out what was going on in New York. But yeah, I think this is a great conversation to have, to see, competing narratives, how they change right in front of you. And ultimately is, you know, who you're going to believe, us or your lying eyes. So thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think we'll hop into a little bit of it with, you know, free speech and those things. I want to say good morning to Mike. We don't always get him. How's it going today, Mike?
Good morning, guys. Just a little comment on yesterday's event. I won't get into like the doomer stuff like I typically do, but, like the title to the room says, we're going to need everybody to really pull on their wisdom threads here and really lean on their pillars of stoicism and keeping the emotions, at bay as best as possible. I'm sure you guys saw it in your feeds. It was all over every one of my social feeds that in a way that I've never seen before. And there are a lot of very emotionally charged, anger charged, hard lines that people are claiming to be drawing, in the sand. And, that's where we really need to all try and be the pillars of calm while everybody else is so on a elevated level. We don't want our neighbors and our family members and our friends and our countrymen and our brothers and sisters in arms to be acting irrationally. And I would unfortunately expect things to continue along this unfortunate trend for the immediate foreseeable future. So just because that's kind of like the path of least resistance that seems to be getting laid down here. So, this is just another, opportunity to just practice being the one that's the safe harbor in the middle of the storm that everybody else is going through. Cause I think we're going to need it a lot more, for quite a while.
Yeah. Thanks for that. And good morning, Yomar. Thanks for coming up, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? You know, not much same as everybody else. You know, it's a tragic day in our history. You know, yesterday's events, I think, regardless of who carried it out or which conspiracy you choose to believe at this point in time, you know, there's always the truth of the government won't let a good tragedy go to waste. So, you know, my concern is, you know, them using the fear and the anger that everybody has now. You know, there's two avenues of it. You know, there's the, you know, pushing people towards violence, which, you know, if you listen to Trump's speech last night, wasn't really one to calm people's nerves. And then, the other side of it is, you know, whether they use, Charlie's assassination or, you know, subsequent events, to justify it. You know, there's a lot of signals that, you know, they want you to be afraid because then, you know, you beg for security, you know, not for nothing, but that's exactly what they did after 9/11, right? Everybody was traumatized. Everybody in that case came together. You know, it was a very unifying moment for our country, unlike I think what happened yesterday. but they used that, to usher in, laws and things that in no other circumstance would Americans go along with. And it's been a detriment to our liberty ever since then and our security. And you know, with, you know, Peter Thiel on the back burner there, trying to usher in, you know, Palantir Tech and whatnot. And not just him, there's dozens of companies. He's just the most prominent one. You know, it's, you know, something to be aware of, you know, that they're going to, I'm sure they'll find once they identify the shooter, they're going to see these tweets or YouTube videos, you know, same as we do with all the other ones. And there's going to be a large swath of, people that are saying, oh, why didn't the FBI know about this? Why didn't this? Why didn't that? And then these tech companies will come in and say, well, we can tell you, we just have to, you know, just have to pass a law so that we can spy on everybody. We need this data feed to go to us so that we can, sort through the noise and signal the FBI on all these pre-crimes. That's the thing that I think we should be most concerned with, because that's what I think is, you know, not saying that the government planned this, just like that's what they would use this opportunity, and that's what they see it as an opportunity. That's what they'd use this opportunity for, is to usher in new surveillance, you know, an update, a facelift for the 2-decade-old Patriot Act, right? They need to start incorporating the new technological landscape, and they need some sort of tragedy or series of tragedies to implement that.
Which is really just them CYAing for stuff that they've already been doing illegally since 2001. And they're just trying to gain ground on stuff that they're all on data they're already illegally collecting that they're going to need to CYA in the future. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, Bob.
No, it's definitely, we can hop into that. Did want to say good morning to a new speaker. We have Miss Renee. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that, I've listened to different points of since he passed, because, everybody has an opinion and everybody's speculating and you know what's going to happen and all this. But I mean, as a follower of Christ, I took notice that, number one, well, Greg Gutfeld yesterday afternoon on the 5 said, I've had 2 strokes, I don't talk plain, I'm sorry. So yesterday afternoon on the 5, he said, you know, it is a turning point that we should all recognize that this could be a turning point for those who want to speak truth and righteousness and all that. And I believe that. So we could either shrink down in fear and say, I'm not going to speak a word, which that's what they want. That's what COVID was all about, you know, shutting down churches and anybody getting together. And so anything to shut down the voice of truth, that's what they're pushing. And so, and it is thus against them. Us against them, that, you know, this is a line being drawn on the sand that either we're going to stand for what is right and reject what is wrong or just compromise. Just say it's a tragic event, get on with it. But I think if we reflect on our own lives, and just ask deep questions of the Lord, to ask what do you want me to do? And obey him and do what he wants. And I just want to share a scripture and somebody could read it for me because I can't read anymore. Can't see good. But Luke 12:1-2. April of 2023, I woke up, was reading the word, and that was what came to mind, or that's what came. And I had never really noticed that scripture before. You know, that, everything hidden will be revealed. It's going to all come to light. It's going to be exposed. And it was shortly after that P. Diddy and Robert Morris and one right after another had been exposed for things that had been hiding in a closet for years. And it all came to light. And I think with the passing of Charlie, who was so precious, you know, he's just 31 years old, a good boy. And he, all obstacles that came against him and everybody with the naysayers and everybody that really wanted him dead because they wanted him silenced. But he knew, I believe he knew in his heart, it was going to cost his life. And let's not shrink back. Let's not be afraid of going forward to do whatever God called us to do. And Charlie was just a wonderful example for the next generation to speak truth and to come against the things that try to shut you down. And he was an amazing man. He was an amazing man. And he's got a beautiful wife. And I think about the little girl that she loved her daddy so much. And they're going to miss seeing her granddaddy grow up. But now they got a video who their daddy was. And they'll know who their daddy was. And he did leave a legacy. And I thank y'all for having this space. I thank you, all of you. All of you have served. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming up and love to hear new voices and perspective. So I know it's a little bit, somber day, but I do like a lot of the points that you brought up and thanks so much for coming up. Getting a kind of a full stage here, so we'll make sure to keep folks up here on stage. Hopefully chatting here this morning. I think BFP was first, but he just put his hand down. BFP, you want to go? Otherwise, we'll go to Pubby.
Yeah, I didn't put my hand down, but the technical difficulties on my phone. I didn't hear that last, I don't know, 5-10 seconds, but the Christ thing made me think of Joe Rogan and some guy talking about Peter Thiel, or Thiel, whatever. Eomar mentioned him, and not only is he doing all this stuff with AI and Palantir, but apparently he's hosting a talk on the Antichrist, not just a talk, a 4-part series, and he's got sold out tickets in San Francisco, and Joe and this guy, I just heard a clip of it.
It's a Tim Dillon episode. That's the one of the most recent Tim Dillon episodes.
Oh, okay. So he was, I mean, I was cracking up laughing because of the way they were talking about it. Like, you got Palantir, you got all this stuff, and then you're going to do a 4-part series on the Antichrist? Like, I think a speech on the Antichrist is plenty, but, you know, to act like, yeah, it's, just shows the, you know, non-Christian believer, mentality. And I'm not like, I don't hate on non-Christians. I like everyone, but it shows just not reading the room type stuff with Peter Thiel.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I do think, Yomar's comments, make a lot of sense to me. I've been thinking the same thing over the last few hours about, unfortunately, governments using this for things that won't turn out good. Pubby, good morning again, and what say you?
Yeah, good morning. You know, like I said, it took time instead of a quick reaction yesterday. I just want to think about this, but one of the things that, you know, I think you need to understand why does this thing with Charlie Kirk really hit home so much? And I don't think you can have the power of that unless you compare it with Irina Zarutska. All right. She's the Ukrainian girl who was basically slaughtered to death. And, you know, in a way that was such a death of innocence and the narratives that have been just, you know, just forced down our throat. of, you know, who's to blame in this society and who isn't. But when you have something on camera like that, someone, you know, which is usually it's a mainstream media dream, right? You've got a refugee, right? That's here in America. She's working hard, coming home from a shift, and just brutally stabbed to death. Didn't even see it coming. Okay. And it was, for many people, it's sort of a death of innocence. Like what society am I living in now where I can't even get on a bus? And then you see the reactions, everything that's been thrown. Three people around, and I get sort of the fear. Someone has a weapon, you don't. And there's no one to fight. And here's the problem. If someone does fight, like a former ex-Marine, he's the one that gets arrested, and he had to go to trial, almost was going to serve 13 years. They finally acquitted him, and no one wants to get involved, man. There's a fear. There's an apathy. No one cares. And this is what they want to tell you. What would have been if colors had been reversed there? Okay, and this is their race card. If colors had been reversed, would have been front page news, but they bury it. Even when it's on camera, you know, who are you going to believe, right? And so you have that death of innocence and just going about your daily life. And then you have someone where you have the death of just dialogue. That's what Kirk was, man. He would go into the lion's den of these college campuses. He didn't go there with guns. He went there with arguments. He went there with, hey, what's your name? Okay, what's your viewpoint? Okay, this is my viewpoint. And when you see the political side of things get to a point where when your ideas aren't working, all you have left is an assassination and violence. Yeah, that's a dark part that we are hitting right now. And so those two together have just pushed people to the wall of, we can't stand for it anymore. We just cannot stand for it. As much as people have taken the high road, this is why I think it's hitting hard with so many. Thank you for your time, man.
Yeah, for sure. Good comments. I do want to make sure, you know, that we are, you know, looking at things objectively, seeking out truth. And, you know, it's still raw and fresh for a lot of us. And so got to be careful to not stoke more tensions. And that's why, yeah, we have this space. Keep calm today. Wade, your hand is up. Go ahead.
I think it's obvious that there's going to be some sort of reactionary response. I just hope that it's a productive reactionary response in the same way that kind of the civil rights movement reacted to their targeted assassinations of their leaders. My kind of shock or just general concern, though, is that we've just seen so many examples recently of the basic human rules of hospitality being so grossly violated. And just such a blatant attack on public debate and public discourse that it's just kind of shocking to the core in general. And it's such a shock to just the general body politic that I think there has to be, and there really should be, a productive reactionary public response to this.
Yeah. And I made the comments in the opener about feeling like I was in a simulation. It really actually stemmed from Trump's post. It just seemed, I don't know, that video seemed, I don't know, eerily like a lot of maybe strange movies that I've seen. So we see some other hands. Neil, go ahead. Hey Neil, you're in the Matrix. Do you want to fix that, and then we'll come back to you? Let's go to Yomar.
Yeah, just gonna say, like, you guys are talking about how just like society kind of lost something, and I think that's exactly right. You know, like one of the more horrific things of the train shooter or the train stabbing in particular was the just disinterest of the people around her, right? Like she. I don't think anybody could have really saved her life, given that from what I heard, she was stabbed in the neck several times, right? But at least to have like a compassionate face and not like the floor of a bus or train, whatever. That's something, you know? But you know, we're conditioned like on purpose, you know, like my, if you've read some of my articles, you know, I talk about it, I touch on it a couple times, but you know, the effort is to get us to be kind of indifferent about the loss of life because the powers that be kind of run on that, right? Like, the you know, I'm sure most of, if you guys are veterans in here, You've heard of wars in Iraq, and you know of the military-industrial complex. Some of the stuff I talked about in my articles is like how, you know, people were resistant to killing even in war, and there's a, you know, government effort to dissuade them of that. And, you know, we see all this violence and killing in movies and games. And, you know, it's generally like, I don't think it's going to lead to somebody going out and like killing somebody directly, but I do think it desensitizes you, especially if you're looking at it on a screen. You know, that's why people can look at, you know, videos of somebody being, murdered and, you know, laugh about it or, you know, make rude comments about it because it's not real to them. You know, they've seen people die on a screen since they were a kid watching TV. So seeing a real person on a screen dying isn't that different, right? Like it's hard to know the signals because, you know, the movie industry has become so good at faking it. So there is really something there in terms of like what society has lost. And, you know, it's really in service to that. In my opinion, it's in service to that like military industrial complex so that we can, you know, be better goons in the trenches. You know, they don't want to have to make us go from, you know, biblical teachings of thou shalt not kill all the way from there to, you know, shooting at the quote enemy. You know, it's a lot easier for 80% of the way there and they just got to give us a little nudge over the top. So I think it's important to keep that in mind and, you know, just be aware of, at least I'm aware, like with my kids of like the media they consume and stuff. I keep them in a nice, safe little bubble. And eventually like they'll get out of that, but at least, for a while, their brain will be safe from that, pollution.
Yeah, it is crazy. The reach, makes me think back, someone else said it, but my son, overheard my wife and I talking about it last night and he was like, oh, I know him. Whoa, that's crazy. And we try to keep a good eye on what our kids, consume. But he had quite the reach and, pretty incredible. I do think maybe not as a counterpoint to what you're saying, Yomar, I noticed though that I think some people do a really good job of the remembrance. And so I've seen a lot of really good, posts of, you know, he's a very public figure and they, you know, people have been putting out a lot of the wise things that he said, a lot of the things that he stood up for, the most important things in his life. And so, as much as, you know, like what you said about people, being desensitized, I do think that, you know, we can counter that in some ways, maybe by talking through this stuff, keeping calm, encouraging people, to be, you know, positive and to be positive in their own, circles and communities, but also, kind of, I don't know, not flooding the internet with, positivities and ignoring, all the bad stuff, but it's kind of like, maybe just a counter good to the evil that's pushed out there. And, wanted to check with Neil again and see if his, microphone has been fixed.
Yeah. So hopefully that's better. But all I was going to say is like, how does this type kind of into Bitcoin? And it's just like, you know, the thing about if you are working, creating value in the world and can trade that value for Bitcoin, if you're doing that, if you're living your life in that way, you've filled your life with meaning and purpose. And in a sense, you've insulated yourself from just nonsensical ideology. Like, you know, you're so grounded in just like you're living that and connecting with other people in a way that just like you, these ideas of like, political violence and, you know, just like that's never going to enter your mind because you're grounded, you're aligned with reality and you're actually, you know, I don't know, you're actualizing your human potential. You know, it's this hollowing out of the human spirit, this hollowing out of and setting aside your dignity that allows these, you know, absurd ideologies to enter into your mind and take root. And it's just like, you know, this is like a consequence, you know, of the fiat, like the hollowing out of the human person is horrible. And, you know, so it's like, that's a way that you can, you know, not only just for yourself, but for your others, you know, like, help. Like if you're asking yourself, how do you, you know, I have kids going to school or kids going to college. How do I help them, you know, keep their eyes on the prize and not get distracted? It's like, well, you know, having that understanding of like what it is to work and what it is to have, you know, to be able to save, you know, the fruit of your work and to, you know, like being able to align that stuff is a really good start to kind of help set some guardrails or, you know, to keep people on track. So, you know, I don't know. It's just, you have to be an empty person to. I'm just lunatic. They're an empty shell of a person that carried this out. But I don't know. That's all I got to share.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil. Let's go to Texas Toast. And I do want to hear from Robert this morning too. After that, if, not to put you on the spot, Robert, but I do thank you for joining the stage and, I've seen some of your posts and would love to get some perspective from you as well. So Texas Toast, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was about to say, Robert's been making a lot of great comparisons here. So glad he's on stage, but I don't know. Sorry, I was about 10 minutes late, so I don't know if it was said that, you know, he had a connection to Bitcoin as well. You know, there's a couple clips going around. I'll put them in the nest in a second, but one is, you know, asking what Trump would do day one, what he would like Trump to do day one in an interview. And the first thing he said is freeing Ross. You know, living up to his word and doing that, you know, keeping his promise and freeing him. And that says something. And then in another interview, he talks about, he's asked about Bitcoin and, he sees it as basically a, you know, something that he compares it to the English language and being a protocol and how, you know, it's kind of going to have this mass adoption effect and there's no stopping it. So he understood Bitcoin as well. Maybe not, you know, in a technical, who knows? I mean, we'll never really know how deep his knowledge is on it. Just based on some of his interviews that he has now, but, you know, that's kind of how it touches the space as well, that, you know, this was a guy that not every Bitcoiner is on your side. Not every Bitcoiner is a good person, you know, but it does say a lot that you can at least be open-minded enough to see something and take the good things for it. But Robert had a bunch of good stuff on how the, you know, our economic effects are affecting, you know, that the shooter and this mentality and kind of all this stuff. So Robert, if you want to speak about kind of the stuff you've been thinking about, posting about, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh man, this is not good. I don't know if you guys covered it or if you saw, but there was an ATF memo that got leaked. Recently, in the past like 10 minutes or so, ATF memo was leaked that, there were scrawlings on the cartridges, transgender scrawlings. So I don't know if that answers the question about, I know some people are thinking this was, you know, an op, foreign intelligence sort of, saw a lot of that this morning, versus, you know, political act of violence, but something broke in America yesterday. Something broke in me yesterday. Felt like the fabric of the country is completely ripped. It's completely beyond repair. Like, yeah, Charlie, you know, before I knew his name. And I knew of him. He was a younger, you know, political influencer, had a large following. A bunch of people, when he went on Tucker, sending me, the clip saying, you gotta watch this. And I did. And it resonated with me, and I felt a connection to him that I had not felt before. And yeah, from then on, it was kind of a different, it was a totally different thing. I felt a part of me and him. I felt, part of him and me. And so when they killed him yesterday, you know, it feels like a part of me was killed as well. He wasn't, you know, I didn't follow every single word he said about every single issue. I don't think that that's, useful, way to look at this, but, what he did say in that Tucker interview and others, is indistinguishable from things that I've been saying openly, now publicly, you know, with my real name and, right, like a picture, you know, I made that decision, a bit ago, right, to, and I gotta admit that it really shook me up. This whole thing really shook me up. I haven't felt, emotional like I did yesterday or this morning, even again. I'm not that type of person. I haven't felt that way since my dog died like 2 decades ago, you know, like I haven't, it shook me. It's a bad day, for the country. It's a bad day. I don't know how we come back from this. I think things get a lot worse. I think things get kind of unimaginably dark, in the near future. You know, well, a lot of us that talk about structural demographic theory, fourth turning, all that kind of stuff, a lot of us have been talking about this for a while now, but, yeah, it feels different to actually live through it. It was like, yeah, you know, basically everyone on the stage at one time or another has spoken about the fourth turning, and, you know, is either, right, from history tells us that either we have a civil conflict or we have an international conflict, like a world war. You know, I'm no longer worried about the threat of World War III. I was leaning towards that, you know, and kind of worried about that. That would keep me up. And I'm no longer worried about World War III. I think it's pretty clear that there will be a conflict. It'll be domestic. And the consequence, the implications and the consequences of this are yet to be fully understood. I worry for my family. I worry for, the country. I don't think there's coming back from this. I think, you know, he was the moderate. He was the one that, according to liberalism, the idea of liberalism, the core idea is that the free marketplace of ideas. And a lot of us, me including, included, have been talking about the kind of outright objective, blatant failures of liberalism over the past, I don't know, couple years. Well, he was the one that played by the liberal, small L, right? Not leftist, small L liberal. He was the one that played by those rules, and they killed him. They shot him in cold blood. They executed him. They assassinated him. So what does that say about liberalism? You know, if the rule book you followed up until this point brought you to this, of what use was the rule, right? And the consequences or the implications of what that implies are exceedingly dark. I think that we saw to some degree a death of liberalism itself yesterday. And I think that the consequences are it's beyond words. The entire situation is just beyond words.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Also wanted to acknowledge we have Puncher up here, but do have some hands. Good morning, Puncher, but let's go to, I think Pubby was first, and then we'll go to Yomer.
Yeah, I think he was absolutely on target with that. There's Charlie Kirk, the moderate, and the death of liberalism and trying to play by someone's rules. This guy was an elected official. Okay. He was just someone that had ideas that were different from someone else's. And he was willing to go anywhere to discuss them. That's it. And this is what have we always been taught? You know, violence is never the answer. Talk things out. And this is sort of the Rubicon that was crossed yesterday for many people, because was there anyone else out there that was doing more to to show that than Charlie Kirk, to go in there, be respectful. I don't think there was. I can't think of anybody. And you have that juxtaposed with the, you know, he's a young father. You know, he's got, you know, he got the wife, two young kids, just a beautiful family. And to see that, that there are forces out there that will just take that all away because views are different. Again, he's not a president. He's not calling in airstrikes on your country. There's no violence there. And it hits that point where you finally say to yourself, well, what else is there? If they can come and assassinate this guy in broad daylight in front of his kid, no less. If they can do that, who, where else is there to turn? Where is this dialogue going to come from? That's the question. Where do you turn to now? Many people feel there is nowhere. And I liked it. Yeah, keep calm. But where do you turn from here? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I think we're still all digesting. I think the main thing here is, you know, we have to stand up for what we believe to be true and right. And we should be seeking those things out. But we shouldn't be resorting to violence. And keeping calm is kind of, I guess, my way of hopefully encouraging people that, you know, we are all online. We're all connected and it's a beautiful thing. But I think sometimes we need to dial it back and think about our own families, our own neighborhoods, communities. And so maybe that's where this comes in. But Yomar, see your hand. Go ahead, sir.
I forget the exact point. I have such a short attention span that I forget the exact point I was going to make. Like just talking about like the ideals, like even if Charlie's points weren't moderate, like it doesn't really matter, right? Like the, cause to somebody, like, you know, we're extremists for being Bitcoiners, right? So like, the subjective, like, opinion of others as to like what's moderate, what's extreme. I don't think it really matters. Like the key, like the fundamental part of, you know, free speech is that like I think it was, Infra before was saying like, you know, we have the ability to discuss these ideas and stuff and like share these ideas without, fear of, one, government retribution and two, you know, lunatic, retribution, like people coming out to, commit acts of violence against you. I made a post before, like, cause somebody was, you know, there's people saying like, oh, like, cause of the, you know, his takes on XYZ, you know, like you shouldn't feel sorry for him. But you know, like the takes that he had that, like, they were talking about like his takes on like Gaza and stuff. None of them were like particularly original. Like it wasn't like he was, you know, at the forefront of the lines, like, you know, committing massacres on his own and stuff like that. He was regurgitating talking points that, you know, you can find from like 1,000 bots on here, you know? So like to say like, oh, because of that, like, you know, he doesn't deserve sympathy, I think is a bit of a stretch. Cause again, it's just, speech, right? Like the idea is, and like that's the other aspect of it. Like if the ideas are bad, like they should be easy to refute. And like his ideas on Gaza were bad, like they're very easy to disprove. And like that should be the angle that you go with. You can, you know, fight bad speech with good speech. Like that's the whole concept of, the whole basis of freedom of speech is that you can, if the idea is bad, it's easy to, poke holes in it. So that's the avenue we should be going with. You know, again, I just like, there's a lot of emotions and stuff going around. And I think it's important to like keep them in check because the biggest threat that I see coming out of this is, you know, more, the government seizing more power. You know, I don't know if there's enough, I don't know if there's enough people with enough time on their hands right now to, degrade into like street violence, that would lead to like the civil war fear that, you know, some people might have. But I definitely, it's just a whip of a pen to strip rights, you know? And the irony of that would be that like, Charlie Kirk, was very adamant and even, you know, openly, you know, supported the right of free speech for, you know, things that, he didn't agree with. So, you know, like I said, I think a lot of his arguments had flaws, but he had like the at least core principle of, you know, even speech I don't like should be allowed to, be spoken. So, you know, I just want to keep hammering in that, you know, instead of looking at us, you know, left versus right or Dem versus Republican or any of those things, just, you know, keep an eye on the big guy looking down at it all, waiting for the minute to, whip their pen across a piece of paper.
Yeah, it is a big concern. Did want to just remind everybody, we do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. If it's your first time, we appreciate you listening in. A little bit different topic today, obviously. But thanks for coming up, Lev. Want to hear from you as well.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for your service. I consider myself a Charlie Kirk fan. I watched him a lot, and you know, I don't really feel like he just came to these debates with talking points. I mean, he really dominated with facts and logic, and the people on the other end of these debates, you know, when they lose, like, it's just that they base their whole identity on these views. So they're just left seething, and that's what I keep seeing. And that's why, you know, they have no logical arguments against him, and that's where we are today. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you all.
Yeah, BFP, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple things. One thing was Bitcoin related, and I thought it was pretty cool to see Ross Ulbricht's post about how he had a big part in getting him pardoned. And then another thing is, more anecdotal. My son was talking to me about, you know, right when this happened, I got a phone call, and he's 19, and he was, talking about, Charlie Kirk and how he doesn't agree with what he said about the whole, you know, Israel Gaza thing. And I'm not getting into that, but, you know, we kind of see the same way on that, but he said, you know, they need to bring back, like hangings in public or something. And I strongly disagree with that. And that I just said to him, I said, that's what they want. You know, they want you to be numb to violence, and that just makes it worse. I said, you got to remember the whole word government. If you break it down, the etymology is control of the mind. Govern is basically, they want to control you. And then the mint is mind, mental mint. I said, so be aware of, you know, how this plays out. Don't just, you know, think like they want you to think. That's narrative control.
Yeah, I go back and forth on the, like the capital punishment thing. Like I have the natural distrust of government ever getting something right. You know, like the cases, the known cases of them executing the wrong person, stuff like that. But then when you look at like the train stabbing, you know, some of the school shootings where there's like just irrefutable evidence, no denials, you know, like all that kind of stuff. It's like, I mean, these people aren't, I don't see them being redeemable in society. You know, like if you shoot up a school or something, you know, it's really hard to argue that like some years in prison can fix that. So I go back and forth on the capital punishment thing. I do think that we have to do something about the, infamy that we grant these people. You know, I generally like have this take on like school shooters and stuff. I think that's like a huge part of it, is that we, you know, plaster their names all over the place. And, you know, even though most people revile them, there are other lunatics out there that will like celebrate them. Like we see this with the Charlie Kirk thing. Now we see people, some like celebrating, which is, it's gross, right? Like nobody, you know, you should never be in the position where you're like celebrating the death of another person, even if that person's vile. You know what I mean? Like you should be, mourning the point in their life where they turned into like some evil creature and, you know, wishing that they went like a different way or something. But, when you start celebrating death, like that's gonna pollute you, you know.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing though, this would not be happening if we took the approach to punishment that say, parts of the Middle East do, right? Like I don't want to use certain words, but like, you know, you make a statement that we as a society will not tolerate certain things, and you display it publicly. I think that there is a recognition amongst, at least what I'm gathering, a recognition amongst especially a lot of young men that the liberalist idea of this kind of turn away, this rejection of brutality, this belief that humanity is fundamentally good and we can't be mean and we have to protect people's feelings and right, that sort of thing. There is a distinct shift away from that. I can't say anything other than I don't think that this sort of thing would be happening if we treated people that did things like this in a much more violent way. I mean, like, I don't want to use certain words and
the problem though is that, like, I think this is a, you know, you have to look at, like, the grand scheme of things, right? We're asking the American people to completely ignore and be okay with the millions of people that we have killed directly and indirectly from our foreign policy. Like, there's been 2 years of blown apart children on Twitter, and we ask people to ignore that.
I totally agree on that point. Yeah.
I think that, like, what we see is just a sick society. Like, I think we've been getting sick since World War II. You know, I think that was a big turning point in our prevalence for war and our justifications for it and the dehumanization that comes along with it. You know, like, there's a reason why there's always a slang for whoever the enemy is, right? If you read the interviews of, or watch the interviews of, I forget what his name is, but he was all over the news after the My Lai massacre. And, you know, one of the quotes was like, oh, like, I keep hearing you say, like, waste and, something else. And, like, I never hear you say kill. And he's like, oh yeah, well, you don't want to kill somebody. That's against, like, our religion. Like, but if you're just wasting a, you know, whatever, slang term for Vietnamese, then it's not the same. Like, you don't have the same worries. And I think what we see in our society today is just a reflection of that. It's what this is what I was talking about earlier. Like, what we demand, what we need for our military industrial complex to survive is that we're desensitized to violence and murder and death because, we see it all the time. And then the unfortunate, you know, quote, unfortunate for the government consequence of that is sometimes it shows up on our own streets. So I think that, like, the, you know, our society as a whole has a problem. So I don't know if, like, public violence, you know, publicly executing people and stuff like that, I don't know if that's good, if that would help anything or just, you know, contribute more to the problem. I think that we need to shift the entire nation away from, like, these, like, platitudes of, oh, well, this is evil, but it's good for America. I think if we actually just shifted back to, hey, this is good, you know, with, like, a capital G, and started doing that, then I think society could start to heal itself. I just don't know if we would ever get to that point, you know?
You know, it goes back and forth. And Charlie talked about this, and it's a really important point that, and I think we all see it now, is that our form of government is totally inadequate for an unreligious, non-God-fearing people. And that has been, this has been the biggest display of that, you know, combined with our foreign policy and a lot of these things. It's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Are we going to have to change our form of government in order to take control and actually, you know, tamp down on some of the violence that is happening and the injustices? Or can we reform the population to become a moral people once again, in order so that, you know, we can actually have a balance of justice and grace in our politics and in our government? And, you know, you can come up with whatever conclusion you want. I think we can all see it's largely broken at this point. So it's like, what do you, you know, what's your angle? And for me, it's like Bitcoin's part of that angle that hopefully will help, you know, illuminate a lot of good things in society and a lot of, justice and truth and, you know, these positive words that we try to describe ourselves and our society with, or at least what we want to see in it. But, it kind of goes back and forth, and the founders wrote about this. They knew that what they were creating was for them, was for their people, a Christian society, that, you know, is like 99% of the signers, you know, profess their faith in Christianity. All of the state of the 13 colonies, every single one of them had a pledge to Jesus Christ in their documents at the founding of the country. And so it's like all these different things kind of come together and where we're at now and what's been lost and what we are to do at this point going forward. And there's a couple different paths, but I just think Bitcoin's an important part of that and is going to shape the future of this country.
Yeah. Do you have a couple of other hands? Just want to get everybody's thoughts here. So we have, probably going to butcher it, but Rye Lion.
You actually got it 100% correct. I appreciate that. I hope everyone's having, you know, a decent morning today. It's been a little bit interesting the last 24 hours, of course. And, you know, of course, with today being 9/11, you know, a lot of things happening across the country, a lot of thought processes, you know, a couple unfortunate things. You know, we still don't know even remotely close, like, the shooter's whereabouts, their motives, their anything. And I kind of have like a two-part question, just in general. You know, I've been speaking, of course, to a lot of my close friends and, you know, things along those lines about this entire thing. And the two-part question is right now, everyone is saying like, all right, we have to do something about the left. Civil war this, civil war that, right? It's all one side versus another side at this point. And, you know, we're all into crypto. We're all betting people. You know, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's probably a duck that committed this heinous act, right? More than likely, it was a one side versus another side type situation. But Occam's razor, just for a second for me, I'm just curious to know from other people, because I am in Florida. I am a registered Republican, but I do not vote Republican at all. You know what I mean? I'm not a conservative. I'm not in that movement. I'm not in that type of space. You know, I have never been a fan of Charlie Kirk. I've not been a fan of what he says. I'm not a fan of this administration in the least bit. But I'm just curious, since we don't know anything about the shooter, we don't know anything at all, you know, what political affiliation, race, religion, whatever, how would you all feel? First off, would you even accept the news as is, if it did end up being somebody from the same political atmosphere as Charlie Kirk, just somebody who was obviously more radicalized and was like just fed up with the way that the Republican Party in general has been going about the last 10 years. And they just kind of said outright, this is obviously not the way that this is supposed to happen. This is not how we deal with things. He got up there, he spoke, every single time he spoke in front of people that disagreed with him, obviously, I mean, to the point of yelling in his face almost constantly. And would you even accept that as an answer if it turned out to be true, first off? I'm just curious to know, just from your guys' standpoint, and the majority of people, I don't think, would accept that if that ended up being the case.
We know it's not. The ATF memo was leaked that there are transgender scrollings on the cartridges. Like, we know it's not true.
Okay. I mean, once again, it's not 100% confirmed. And I've heard all these things as well. It's like, I want a person in custody and I want to hear the reasons why they did it. Of course, like, whether it's left or right, I'm just curious, you know, at all, if that ended up being the case, because we did have two people detained and they were let go immediately. So, I mean, things are all over the place. But, you know, that's the first part of my question, I guess, if you guys wanted to answer that, more than welcome to.
Yeah, I'll just say, I mean, I think, you know, it's fair to speculate, but at the same time, like, I'm not sure what the what ifs, what good they do us. I think, especially in this space, like to keep it towards, again, keeping calm and helping people decide what they can do in their communities to make them better. I don't think that we gain much by trying to push out narratives or argue against what some people, one side would call propaganda, the other side would call truth. I think there'll be, all that stuff will get sorted out and we'll have evidence, hopefully, and not just quote unquote news. So want to be careful, like not to go too far down paths that I don't think aid people in their, I think, digesting of this, and really do want to try to keep it positive. I do appreciate you coming up, Rylion, and we do have a couple other hands. Usually we try to keep this to an hour. We'll go a little bit over today, but I do want to hear from Wade and then Yomar as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, historically, we have bad actors from across the political spectrum committing acts of political violence. It's been a long time in this country since, example, we've had like a Timothy McVeigh moment, and it kind of feels like now we're having a Timothy McVeigh moment all over again, where we have an absolutely heinous act and we have a manhunt on the way, and we've got the potential death penalty going on. And I mean, you just go back. I mean, it was all over the news, the Timothy McVeigh execution at the Terre Haute, you know, federal corrections facility, when that went down, what, a decade ago or something like that. And it just feels, you know, historically this country and Western society treats pirates and they treat assassins and they treat terrorists the exact same way. And that is a trial and a public execution. And I think we're kind of looking at, regardless of whatever this person's political motives and whatnot are, I think we're looking at a serious Timothy McVeigh moment all over again.
Go ahead, Yomar.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I actually have to drop because I have a meeting starting, but I put a post up in the nest. I think that quote from the Bible's really important to try to internalize, especially as you get your emotions ramped up and stuff. In the spirit of keeping calm, don't go out thinking that it's your job to get vengeance against the libs or whoever you know is responsible for it. In the end, whoever commits these crimes will have to answer for it, whether that's here or in the next life. So, you can at least take some solace in that. To circle it back, you know, keep calm. Don't get ramped up too much. It's okay to be upset about, and you should be upset about, assassinations of, political pundits. You know, that's a pretty wide breath in today's, internet society. Like, where's the threshold, so you should always be against that. That's left or right. You should be against violence against, people for their speech, big proponent of like the non-aggression, principles and stuff like that. So just bear that in mind as you go forward and as more details and stuff come out. Again, I'm going to just keep hammering on it. Just be careful of like how the government responds. If this does turn out to be another trans shooter and they say, oh, we got to take guns away from trannies because they're, sorry, it's probably not politically correct, but whatever. You know, if we got to take guns away from these people, because they're not mentally sane or they have a mental disorder or whatever, just bear in mind, like, there's tons of veterans that are diagnosed with mental disorders, PTSD, they classify. There was a time, I think they stopped doing it, but the government, used those diagnoses to try to strip veterans of their Second Amendment rights. So if we start giving them a little bit of lead on the leash to infringe on our rights because of, mental disorders, just bear in mind, like who could have control of the government next time around, right? The FBI already lists like a terror threat. So they're just waiting for that authority to start infringing on rights. So just keep that in mind. Be vigilant out there, but don't be crazy.
In the spirit of like being calm, I think this community, understands that and understands that we're going to be figuring out what happened over the next weeks and months of what really happened. And there is no quick fix to this. There is no, snap your fingers and everything's all better. This is going to take a long time and a concerted effort by a lot of people to fix our country. And so getting too emotional, getting all riled up against a specific individual or group of people, I don't think is gonna do you justice. It's not gonna do Charlie justice. This is gonna take probably like two generations if we actually want to get it fixed, or at least two decades, to really implement some of the changes that we need to see and changing the hearts of people all across the country. So, yeah, it's keep calm, take a sober approach, and have a long time horizon and be diligent about working towards that end.
Yeah, it's really good comments. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I think what Yomar's been saying is true. The pendulum swings, right? And both political sides in this country will try to use this in different ways, and people will call upon leaders to fix the problem. But I think we've seen that government, the more involvement they have, the more problems we tend to have. And so I, for one, don't want to see a whole bunch of people rally behind the state, creating more rules, surveillance, laws, things that impede our freedoms. And so the thing to not keep calm about is the people around you who are normally, I would say, peaceful people who are usually against the government doing intervening in more things. If there's one thing to not keep calm about, it is those people around you that are encouraging this administration and elected officials to take away our freedoms in the name of Charlie Kirk or anyone else who is a victim of this type of thing. And so all I'll say is stand for what's right and stand for your rights, but do keep calm. We don't want to see anybody getting too riled up or have violence throughout our cities or our countrysides for that matter. But I do want to go around and just see if anybody has any final thoughts. I know we went a little bit over today, but it was kind of one of those days. Glad to be with you guys. I do want to thank everybody who is up here on stage and everybody who listened in. I hope this was somewhat therapeutic. I know there's tough days that we have sometimes, and I think this was one of them. But I'm glad I was with you guys, and I got to hear some good perspectives today. I hope the audience enjoyed that as well. Wade, I see your hand. We'll go to you first and then kind of go around the horn for anybody else before we wrap it up.
I know what the Utah governor said was slightly political or was political. It's inherently political what he said in his speech. But I think it was important to highlight that the state has an interest in pursuing a capital case against people who assassinate political speakers in public university spaces. I do think that there is some space in here for the state, and I hope that there is a true and just investigation, arrest, a trial, a conviction, and I anticipate execution in this matter.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't find somebody for a long time. I don't know. It just seems like this is a big distraction from something else to me too, in the back of my head. Not saying it was planned, but I think all these things can be used. And so it's like these things kind of play off of each other almost. It seems like where, I think less is going to be, talked about in remembrance of 9/11 today because of what occurred yesterday. I think there's other things going on around the world that we didn't even touch on today that this will be used by the mainstream media and, people to distract us from other things. So, keep your eyes open. And, I think it's pretty crazy. The world we live in, we touched on it a little bit Monday, talked about Nepal and France and England and, Japan, and we seem to be pretty U.S. centric, obviously, and I think sometimes that we miss things like Israel bombing Qatar. not trying to point anything out in specific, but there's a lot going on in the world beyond our borders, and you always wonder what this can be used for. Anybody else want to give us kind of a capstone on today before we wrap it up? I'll take that silence as a no. But thank you guys. We do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. This was therapeutic for me. I appreciate it, guys. This was better than expected. I never like to host these spaces when it's, things like this are going on. And, I get thinking about, his family in specifics. And then hopefully we all take this to give someone a hug that we care about. And despite our differences, hopefully we're treating people with dignity and respect, as Neil has been talking about quite frequently. Guys, try to have a positive day. Please be a positive influence out there. Of course, I'm getting a call right during while I'm trying to wrap it up. So, but I do want to have people spread positivity in their world. And keep your emotions in check. Tomorrow will be a new day. We'll have a lot to digest. Hopefully we can talk about some more positive things tomorrow. But want to wish you guys all a positive Thursday. And we're going to do a little bit different for the show. We're just going to have today is going to be a little bit different. We'll have Eric play a little bit of outro music just in honor of Charlie. And so go ahead, Eric.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You said one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. It leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it. Did I disappoint you or leave a bad taste in your mouth? You act like you never had love and you want me to go without. Well, it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, carry each other. One. Have you come here for forgiveness? Have you come to raise the dead? Have you come here to play Jesus to the lepers in your head? Did I ask too much, more than a lot? You gave me nothing now, it's all I got. We're one, but we're not the same. Well, we've hurt each other, and we're doing it again. You say love is a temple, love the higher law. Love is a temple, love the higher law. You ask me to enter, but then you make me crawl. And I can't be holding on to what you've got, when all you've got is hurt. One love, one blood, one life. You've got to do what you should. One life with each other, sisters, brothers. One life, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, carry each other, one.
Thank you, guys.